Let's turn this morning to our passage in Ephesians 6 that we have been looking at as we have been using Sunday mornings to go through the armor of God. I'm going to read that first part where Paul says in verse 10, finally, as he ends this book, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the arrows or fiery darts of the wicked or the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. That's the one we want to look at this morning. The helmet of salvation. It is very important how a Christian thinks. It is extremely important how we think, because our thinking will lead to our actions or our behavior. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. When some said what we are is what we eat. Or what we eat, what we are, or something like that. Well, we are what we think. And that's very true. It starts in the headquarters, right? That's where the orders come from. The battle is the mind. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Don't be put in the mold of this world. But be ye transformed, metamorphosis, like a butterfly, word transform. Be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. You are, as a Christian now, you are renewing your thoughts, that ye may know and prove. In other words, the word prove there is to recognize or to discern. So we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove, recognize, or discern what is the good, what is the acceptable, and the perfect will of God is. So that's why our thinking is so important. That we can know and discern what God's will is. Yet how many Christians do not guard their minds? How many Christians do not guard their minds as to what they see, as to what they hear, and even what they think about? They're open many times to worldly ideas without any protection. And someone said it's good to have an open mind. Well, you better filter it. It's like on a summer night, you open up a window. If you don't have a screen in it, you can have some problems. You're going to have some insects coming in. So it's nice to have the open window. And it's good to have an open mind, but you better be screening what comes in. You better filter it through the Word of God. And that's where the transforming or the renewing of the mind comes in. That we may know, prove, discern what the will of God is. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And keep the bugs out. Okay? Now, Proverbs 19:27 says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of God." Don't listen to that which will cause you to stray from God's word. Don't listen to that which will cause you to stray from the wisdom of God. Now, when you read that verse, certainly it's speaking of counselors. Remember what Proverbs 1:1 says? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That's what he's talking about in that proverb. Cease to listen to them. Cease to hear their instructions. Those that would cause you to err, to stray from the Word of God. But also the teaching of false teachers. The more you know the Word of God, the more you will catch those things that are not right. The more you know of the Word of God, the better that screen is going to be. The better you're going to be able to filter things out. I was talking to someone yesterday that came to, wanted to share, had they got a marriage problem. The wife came. And as we talked to her, one of the things that is a big problem is the screening of Scripture, not understanding what Scripture is saying and buying into that which is wrong. The more we renew our mind, the better we are at understanding and filtering out that which is against God's word. So that's what he's talking about in Proverbs there. The careless Christian, the one that does not do that, they can easily be persuaded. They can easily be persuaded that there is no such thing as absolute truth. They can be easily persuaded that doctrine is of no concern. They can be easily led astray by those false teachers. How many today will go against the Word of God because of a feeling they have? When I hear someone say, "Well, I just feel," I say, "Well, that's as far as you need to go." God's word is not something you just feel about. "Well, I experienced this." Well, does it line up with God's word? That's the filtering process. And how many today live by experience and feeling? And you can sit down, because I've done this, you can sit down and show them the Word of God that is very simple. And I'm telling you, I have had one person tell me, "I don't care what the Word of God says. I know I experienced this." Well, Satan can cause experiences too, you understand. His demons are always at work. We better be careful of living off experiences and feelings. Now, better be able to line it up with God's word. And the more you renew your mind, the more when something like that comes in, red flags go up. Flags go up. And you think, "Well, something's not quite fitting here. Something's not making a connection." Well, what do? You find out. Now, you may go to God's Word and you find out, okay, it's fine. But then you may go and you find yourself that you're not obeying God's Word. You're not living by His Word. So, most people want good feelings and not careful thinking. Most people rather have the good feelings and not the careful thinking. And that's where the danger comes in. Christianity, and I'm going to make this statement, this is from a German theologian. Christianity is not about what you believe, but how you feel and experience. That is Christianity. And that was Friedrich Schleiermacher. That was his whole premise. It's all about your feelings and your experiences. And you can dictate your experiences. It's not about belief. It's not about belief in absolute truth. Now, in our passage, it says God gives us, as part of the armor, a helmet called the helmet of salvation, so that we can protect our heads, but literally our minds. Just before going into battle, the soldier would put on his helmet. And of course, the helmet would protect him from any physical harm to his head. And it would have these plates come down the side that would protect his face. And that's what Paul is seeing here. He is thinking now of this helmet that they put on that protects their head physically. And he uses that and he brings it over into the spiritual realm. And he says that we have a helmet of salvation to protect us in our thinking, in our minds. In Isaiah 59:17, Isaiah pictured God going forth into battle to bring deliverance to his people by judging the enemies. And it says in that verse in Isaiah that he had a breastplate of righteousness, and he also had a helmet of salvation that God did. Because his desire was to be just in his delivering of the people and dealing with the enemy. So Paul here takes that, possibly, no doubt, had read Isaiah, and he takes that and he applies it to the Christian as far as our armor. Now, as we said, how you think will determine how you behave. How you think will determine how you feel. How you think will determine how you act. Jonathan Edwards said this: the ideas and images in man's mind are the invisible powers that constantly govern them. I read it again. The ideas and images in men's minds are the invisible powers that constantly govern them. Now, you take a person that is easy to anger. You know, a person that gets angry quick is a selfish person. You know that? Because what is their thinking? What is this? When they get angry because they're selfish, and their thinking is, I have my rights. How dare they treat me that way? I'm not going to let this person treat me that way. So here all of a sudden this pride and this selfishness comes about. Because the angry person kind of thinks that the world owes them something. How many think, how they think determines how they feel about life and how they act. Christ said in Mark 7:21-22, for from within, out of the heart, And many times that heart includes your thinking. How many from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Our thinking determines how we are going to act. It is going to determine how we relate to others. And so here we have this helmet of salvation. Literally, in the original, it reads the help of the helmet, which is salvation. The helmet, which is salvation. That's important. So let's look at, let's get an idea of what Paul is talking about here. When we have this helmet on, we realize a change. When we have this helmet on, when Christians have this helmet on, we realize that something has changed. We have the chorus, "I'm different now." Well, that's what it does, because it changes us. You relate to people differently than you did before. Now remember, we're a new creation, and I'm telling you, there are people that will live the same way they did before they're saved and try to tell me they're saved. I said, no way. There's going to be a change. There will be a change. And so when you have this on, people, you will see people differently than you did before. You will love the children of God. You will love the family of God. You will love your brothers and sisters. You will love those who at one time you tried to avoid. Hey, you remember the time when you were not saved, you're not a child of God, and you didn't want a Christian around you. You didn't want a Christian around you. Because they made you feel guilty. They showed you up. But now you become a child of God. And that one that you tried to avoid, they're your brother and sister in Christ now. And guess what? You love them. You want to be around them. You want to relate to them. You want to have conversations with them. You want to go out to eat with them. Why? Because you've changed. You've changed. You now love the children of God. You see lost people in a different way. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a hard thing to do, because somehow, I don't know, I find myself doing the same thing, and I really had to check myself. You know, here, you're saying, I got saved when I was 27 years old. God saved me. Now, I'd done a lot of things up to that point. And I know what my life was like up to that point. Jenny knows what my life was like up to that point. And all of a sudden, God saves me, not from any of my doing. God didn't say, I'm going to save Lee Price because he merits it. He said, I'm going to save Lee Price regardless of how he is, just as I am. Okay. And he says, I'm going to save him because I'm going to show mercy toward him. I'm going to show grace to him. I'm going to put my love upon him. Nothing he did. Not one thing. I exercised faith, but he gave me that. So I am what I am, as Paul said, by the grace of God. Now, after I'm saved, I have to be very, very careful. When I see someone that's sinning like crazy, that's living for the devil, I have to be very careful of my judgment of them. Because how often do we do that as Christians when what we received, we had nothing to do with it? It was all the grace of God and the mercy of God. When you have the helmet of salvation on, there is a change toward the unsaved person by the grace of God, you could still be in that situation. You could still be in that situation that they're in. In fact, I've said to myself, I was once there. I was once there. So don't look at ourselves in the mirror and says, I'm better than they. No. You have a heart for them. And praise God somebody had a heart for you. That they shared the word of God. And God, as the Holy Spirit worked in your life, it changed you. And you became a different person. So putting on this helmet of salvation means that you relate differently toward those that were not brothers and sisters at one time. You relate differently. You relate differently to the lost. You see them. Listen, they are under the blindness of Satan. And they don't realize it. Until the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ shines through. We have a different way of relating to the world. All of a sudden, the world doesn't satisfy us. We were looking for all the thrills and the shrills and all of this in the world. But all of a sudden now, the world is different. It becomes an enemy to us. And we're to be at enmity with the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life that we lived under. We're different. We're different. Why? Because of our salvation. And that's what that helmet of salvation. You see the danger in the world. You see the danger of the world's system. Things that you loved in the world, you no longer love. Things that you couldn't wait to do in the world. The worldly pleasures, you can live. You don't want them anymore. You lay them aside. So, when Paul says that you take the helmet of salvation, he is saying, don't go into this world with your thinking unprotected. Don't do that. You need that helmet of salvation. If someone said, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap character. And you sow character, you reap your destiny. And that's how true it is. And it starts right there in our thinking. So we need to look at this, and I'll stop. Don't worry. You know, when we think of salvation, we think of God redeeming us. And saving us from three things. He saves us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the power of sin. And he will one day save us from the presence of sin. That's what salvation does. And Paul here is emphasizing the totality of our salvation. How it deals with our sin, our past sin, how it deals with our present, and how it deals with the future. So putting on this helmet of salvation means that you are to think about all that your salvation has accomplished. Now, let's look at these. Number one, putting on this helmet of salvation is to think of how God has rescued you from the penalty of sin through faith in Christ. It is thinking of how God has rescued you from the penalty of sin through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we use the word salvation today very loosely. We hear it a lot, and we don't think about it like we should and what it really means. My salvation, your salvation, you're here today. It means that God rescued you from a condition in which you could not rescue yourself. It means that God has rescued you, delivered you from the penalty of sin, which you could not do yourself. Ephesians 2 says we were dead in transgressions. We were not seeking God. Listen, Scripture's clear. No man seeks after God. And yet we'll say, well, they're seeking God. No, they're not. If they are, then Scripture's lying. No man seeks after, they seek the benefits of God. They seek that. But seeking God, in other words, there's so many that want the benefits of God, but not the relationship. See? It's like a family, you know. Somebody dies in the family, they want the inheritance, although they don't have a good relationship with one another. They want the gift, but not the giver. And so, when we think about salvation, we need to think, what did that mean to me? I have been rescued from the penalty of sin. I was lost. Ephesians says I was lost. I was without God. And you didn't desire God. You didn't desire God. You're in enmity with God. But when God, all of a sudden, He begins to work in your life through the working of the Holy Spirit, and He begins through the Holy Spirit, He begins to convict you, and all of a sudden your eyes are open and you see your guilt before God. And God did that. You understand your plight. You understand condemnation. You understand you were under the wrath of God. You understand that you will be judged of God. And then you saw your need as a Savior. Remember, we said a couple of weeks ago, you can't get saved until you're lost. You got to understand why you need a Savior. You got to understand your plight as a human being born into this world. So you see the need of salvation. So when we take this helmet of salvation that God has provided for us in Christ, you begin to realize where you at. You begin with that on there in your mind. You're thinking where I was at and what condition I was in before God saved me. That's what my thoughts are. Take time to sit down and just ponder through that. Where would you be? And you don't say, well, because I did this, because I did that, because I did this. No. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He didn't say, I am what I am because I was a great Pharisee. He didn't say, I am what I am because I did all these good things. He didn't say, I am what I am because I worked around the church a lot. He didn't say, I am what I am because I came to church every Sunday. He didn't say, I am what I am because I sang in the choir or did this or I did that. He didn't say that. He said, I am what I am by one thing, the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's it. He said, that's it. Without the grace of God, I wouldn't be who I am. Wouldn't be it. So putting on this helmet of salvation is to think how God has rescued you from the penalty of sin through faith in Jesus Christ. But then also putting on this helmet of salvation is to think of how God has rescued you from the power of sin. Listen, you do not have, every morning, we need to get up and say, thank you, God, that I don't have to serve sin today. Thank you, God, that I'm not a servant to sin. I'm not in bondage to sin because of you. Now, we're going to sin. We understand that. Because we are not perfect yet. But you don't have to. You don't have to live habitually in sin. You don't have to be. In Romans 6, Paul shows that believers are identified with Jesus Christ in His death and in His resurrection. When you're in Christ, that means what happened to Christ happened to you. And now that, see, it talks about that we're raised to newness of life in Him. Sin no longer has dominion over you. That's the point in Romans 6. You're not enslaved to sin anymore. You're not in bondage to sin anymore. And in verse 11 of Romans 6, he says that we are to reckon, put it to our account. It's a ledger term. Put it to your account that you are dead to sin and you're alive to Jesus Christ. Paul said, you put that to your account. You're dead to sin. The resurrection of Christ through the Holy Spirit in us enables us to walk in newness of life. We have the power through the Holy Spirit to turn away from sin, to not serve sin. Now that implies two things. First of all, when you see yourself that way, when you understand that, the first thing is you will grow in holiness and you will begin to have more consistent victory over sin. You will have more and more victory over sin. And that's a lifelong process. That's as long as you're here on this earth as a Christian. That is a lifelong process. Are there going to be failures? Oh, yeah. Are there going to be setbacks? Oh, yeah. But overall, you are growing in holiness. You're growing in your victory over sin. And where does that begin? That begins in the mind. I do not have to serve sin today. That's my thoughts. No Christian should live in the bondage of sin. We are dead to sin. In fact, if you can live in that way happily, that may be a sign that you are spiritually not what you think you are. You may not be in Christ. Because that's what John talks about. He talks about habitual sin. You continue to live in sin and don't bother you. The second thing that implies on the power of sin, it helps you to grow in your assurance as a child of God. It helps you to grow in your assurance as a child of God. 2 Peter 1:10 speaks of that. It is living a life that confirms one's salvation. So putting on the helmet of salvation is to think of God and how He has rescued you from the power of sin, knowing that you do not have to be a servant of sin. You do not have to serve sin. You walk in newness of life. And then finally, putting on the helmet of salvation is to think how God has promised that you will be delivered from the presence of sin. We know that's coming. I'll give you the verses here. 1 John 3:2-3 talks about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:8-11. I'm going to turn to that one. 1 Thessalonians 5:8-11. Listen to what Paul says. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, what? The hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So Paul is saying that we stand firm. We're to stand firm in the day of evil. We're to stand firm. We must know that God has saved us from the penalty of sin. He has saved us from the power of sin. And He will one day save us and deliver us from the very presence of sin. And it is that knowledge that we are saved, we are secure, and that nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. That's that helmet of salvation. It is our thoughts toward what God has done for us in saving us. And that's why in chapter 8 of Romans, I am persuaded, Paul said, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, kind of lines up with what we're looking at in Ephesians 6 that are against us, right? He said, none of that, nor things present or things to come, height, depth, any creature, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the helmet of salvation. And so to resist the devil, to resist these forces of evil, the darkness, we must be assured of our salvation, not by feeling, not by experience, but by God's word, by what it says. What God's word says. But here's what Satan, you know what he did in the garden? The first thing, when he goes to Eve, what is the very first thing that he attacked? Her mind. Her mind. He goes to her, he says, hath God said? In other words, Eve, you owe it to yourself to rethink it. Rethink it. Going after the mind. Your thinking may be wrong. So you need to rethink it. Hath God said that? And so he begins to have her question God's word. What is he trying to do? Shake her confidence. He's trying to rattle her brain. He's trying to put doubts in her thinking. And when he begins to do that and he gets a foothold in that, let me tell you something, he can wreck your Christian life. How many times did he attack Christians at the point of their assurance? Are you sure you're saved? And we get tied up in these Christian struggle. Does he love me? Or does he not love me? Kind of like that thing, does he love me? Does he love me not? Does he love me? Does he love me not? How in the world? Who wants to live a life like that? Not knowing from day to day. Does he love me today and not tomorrow? Does he love me or does he not love me? Am I saved? Or have I fallen away? Have I sinned away grace? Or have I not? Am I in Christ or am I out of Christ? Am I justified or not? Am I God's child or not? All these things Satan puts into your mind. And what are you going to rely upon? You got to come back to the fact of God's word that you are saved. And by being saved, I am protected when I put that helmet on because I was saved from the penalty of sin. I'm out from under God's condemnation. I am saved from the power of sin. I don't have to serve sin today. And praise God, one day I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin in the presence of God Almighty. And that is based on not my feelings, not my experience, but on the truth of God's word. And you learn that by renewing your mind. And you put that helmet on. And when those attacks and those arrows and all come from Satan trying to make you doubt, listen, he can make you live a miserable Christian life. A miserable Christian life. So that helmet of salvation is security. It is protection from the assaults of Satan. And he is saying, Paul is saying, if you're going to fight against Satan, then you better have this helmet on. Because he will attack that. He will attack that. And listen, all he's got to do, you might be a Christian, but if he can make you miserable, what good are you as a Christian? Really? You see, if he can't, he knows he can't pluck you out of God's hand. He's a theologian. He understands that. A lot of people don't understand that, but he understands that. But I can tell you what, he can make you miserable. And he can take away your ministry. He can take away your testimony. He can take away your joy. David said, return unto me, joy of salvation. He can do all of that. And you have pretty much lost the skirmish or the battle. Keep that helmet on. Know who you are in Christ. Know what God has done for you in salvation and in saving you, past, present, and future. And you stand on that. And you stand on that. I don't care what the world says. If there are 100 people wrong and you're the only one there, then stand on it. I don't care. We talked about Caleb Friday night. Caleb and Joshua went out with 12 spies. And they came back. And all the spies said, hey, we can't handle them, man. They're big. They're giants. We like insects. We can't handle that. And all of a sudden, Caleb speaks up. And he says, we can do it. God's going to give us the victory. We commit it to the Lord. He'll give us the victory. We're not going to be scared of them. And all of a sudden, guess what? They're ready to stone them. The others. Why? Because people don't like to be shown up for their cowardness. Those other 10 spies, they didn't want to be shown up, but they were just plain old cowards. And they were scared to death to go in there and fight. And Caleb and Joshua, they knew, we committed to God, he'll give us the victory. And they said, well, we're going to stone y'all right now. They were ready to pick up stone and kill them. Well, who's got the guts to stand up? Paul said you got to stand up, and you got to have that helmet of salvation on. Who you are in Christ Jesus through salvation. Wear it, I'm going to say this right, wear it proudly. But not pride of yourself, but you boast in Jesus Christ. And wear it boasting of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and be dismissed.